Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher, I'm Bob Davis, and we welcome you to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. We're live on the air and online, and if there's something you'd like to talk about or a Bible question we can answer, we invite your call now to 844-322-2742. That number good in the U.S. and in Canada, 844-322-2742. It's Basic Gospel, everybody, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. Are you a sinner saved by grace, or are you a saint by calling?
I'm the latter.
You are the latter indeed. Why? Because you're a believer in Jesus Christ. You once were a sinner saved. You once were a sinner, but you were saved by grace. And in that saving, God changed your identity. He gave you a brand new identity. You're a saint by calling, child of God. That's what this subject of sanctification is all about. You have been set apart from the old so that you could experience the new. And we've had a wonderful time discussing sanctification this up to this point. And here we're going to pivot to what this sanctification looks like in real life. How do we live it out? So our tagline is hear it, believe it, live it. So we've been spending a lot of time on the hearing part, laying out what the Scripture says about sanctification. Today I'm going to ask the question, do you really believe what the Scripture has to say about you, about what it means to be sanctified, what it means to be a child of God, a saint by calling? And then next week, as I said, we're going to pivot and we're going to look at the live part. How do we live this out in day-to-day life? So let's take stock on where we've been this month. First of all, sanctification is a done deal.
Yeah,
it happened once and for all, as Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 6, and that is what some of you were. You were a sinner. Mm-hmm. Now you were saved by grace, but you were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. All of those things are past tense. You were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified. It's happened. It happened once for all time. You are sanctified. It's a done deal. Second, it happened through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Through that one sacrifice, we have been made holy or sanctified in Christ. That's something to be thankful for.
Absolutely.
Jesus Christ shed his blood to sanctify us. We saw that in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 17, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 10, and Hebrews chapter 13, verse 12. All of those show that the shed blood of Jesus sanctified us or set us apart or made us holy in Christ. Then we looked at a couple other verses, 2 Thessalonians 2:13 and 1 Peter 1:2, that shows the sanctifying work of God's Spirit. So this shed blood happened 2,000 years ago. Jesus shed his blood for you and me. It sanctified us. Now the Holy Spirit takes that work and applies it to us, and the result of that is faith in Jesus. So we're sanctified through the shed blood of Christ by the sanctifying work of the Spirit through faith in Jesus Christ. And we see that through faith in Jesus in Acts 26:18. So it's a done deal, folks. If you are a believer in Christ, yeah, you are sanctified. You have been sanctified. You have been set apart. You can actually now function the way God designed you from the very beginning. When he created Adam and Eve, he created Adam and Eve to live in dependence upon God, to enjoy his love, and to reflect his image to the world. That's how God designed man to function. And now that we've been set apart, sanctified, made holy, we can actually function the way God designed us from the beginning, yeah, to walk in dependency upon Jesus Christ, to live in his love, and to reflect his image and his glory to the world around us.
That's good news, and that's Basic Gospel. We thank you for joining us for this edition, everybody. Plenty of open lines. We'd love to hear from you, allow you to pose your question, or join this particular conversation at 844-322-2742. Again, that's good in the U.S. and in Canada, 844-322-2742.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're going to go to Mary Jo listening to us in Louisville on WFIA. Hi, Mary Jo.
Hello. You'll have to bear with me. I was up till 4 this morning. I couldn't sleep. If you get cremated, can you be resurrected?
Well, Mary Jo, the Bible doesn't say anything about cremation, and certainly, you know, we know of stories where people were burned in fires, their bodies were burned and incinerated in fires. We hear all sorts of stories like that. Well, if they're believers, they're going to get new resurrected bodies, and so I think if somebody, a believer, gets cremated, they're going to receive a resurrected body just like anyone else. That's God's promise to each and every one of us who are saints by calling. We're going to receive a resurrected body just like Jesus did. So we're going to put on the imperishable, the immortal, and we're going to live forever in God's presence. That's the promise of God. So, yes, if you're a child of God, you're going to receive a resurrected body.
Uh-huh. Well, I was thinking the dead shall be raised. I was thinking on those lines at the end times.
Well, that's what I'm talking about. At the end time, we're going to receive resurrected bodies. And we're going to be called out, and we're going to be changed, and we're going to get a brand new body. And that's true of every single believer, regardless of their burial practice, whether they were put in a casket and buried in the ground, whether they were cremated, whether they, were lost at sea and, you know, gobbled up by a fish or a shark or something like that. That doesn't matter. God promised to give us resurrected bodies. That's our hope. And for those of us who are in Christ, that's what's going to happen.
Thank you.
You're welcome, Mary Jo. Thanks for your call.
Yes, indeed. We'd love for you to call as well. Again, 844-322-2742, 844-322-2742.
When you walk the same ground as the patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob.
Well, we will do that a little bit later then. We're going to talk about Israel.
Well, let's just talk about it live because it's something worth talking about. We're going to go to Israel next year, February 7th through the 18th. This is just going to be a fantastic trip. We have plenty of spots available. They are limited. We only have 40 spots for this particular trip, but we want you to be a part of it. We've done this in the past. It is one of those trips that you just never stop talking about.
Absolutely.
I think about all three times that I've been to Israel and the different things that I've learned. And when we go this year, we're going to be able to see some new things that have been discovered. The little town of Magdala, where Mary Magdalene would have lived, that has been uncovered, unearthed. And we can see what that functioning village look like. It's right on the northwest side of the Sea of Galilee, and I just hear it's a fabulous spot to be. So we're going to go visit that. Of course, we're going to go to all the other places around the Sea of Galilee. We're going to spend some time in Jerusalem. But all of this will just enhance our understanding and just depth of knowledge of what this gospel message is all about. I can remember one of the trips we had just visited Golgotha, mm-hmm. The place of the cross, and it's just an incredible, astonishing place to see.
Really,
and we walked away, and the question was, how can we argue about forgiveness? How can we argue about the fact that it's been done, it's finished, that we have once for all forgiveness? There's nothing more to do, but yet we do. You know, theologues debate and use words like judicial and forensic and positional to talk about the forgiveness provided. But when you're there, something just overwhelms your heart, and you just rejoice in the fact that you are a forgiven person. And oh my, is that an incredible reality to embrace? And that just deepens that truth within the heart when you're there, when you see it. And so many other places in Israel do the very same thing. One of my other favorites is Caesarea Philippi.
Yeah.
And that's where Jesus asked the question, who do you say that I am? And when you see the context of it, realize that that's where the headwaters of the Jordan River, that's the beginning of that river that runs through the nation of Israel.
Right.
It's like, wow, that question is the very beginning point of this river of life that I jump into through faith in Christ. Just all of these things start coming to life. So we want you to come and participate with us. Join us on this journey of a lifetime. All the information on how you can go with us is available at basicgospel.net, our events tab. If you have questions, we have the Israel Tour Company that's handling all the details. Just two of the most wonderful ladies, Eileen Mason and Evelyn Wheeler. If you have questions, concerns, any of those things, they will answer every single one of your questions, and they would just be delighted to do so.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, we're going to have Eileen on the program in several weeks. She is going to Israel, I think leaves in the next couple of days. Mm-hmm. So she'll be fresh off a trip, and we'll be able to talk about some of the new and exciting things that we can see. So all the information is at basicgospel.net. Click the events tab. Come join us. We would love to have you for this trip of a lifetime.
Well, it is exciting, exciting prospect. I'm looking forward to it, Bob. I know you are too, and we hope that many of our listeners will take advantage of the opportunity. Time is running short to get your registration in. So, again, go to events at basicgospel.net.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go down to Hutto, Texas, and talk with Clay. Hi, Clay.
How y'all doing today?
We're doing okay. What's on your mind?
Andrew was hitting on this. Somebody called last week about whether you had to go to church or not, you know, and sometimes I see this thing of sanctification of people believe that they're sanctified, but they don't really have a knowing of it. And some of the most high-maintenance Christians I've ever seen are in what this organized religion that seems like they can't do anything without passing it through the pastor. And they, when the problem comes up, they go to the pastor instead of the Word of God. And sometimes it takes, like, you have to make appointments months in advance because they're so busy. So I want to go back to this fivefold ministry. It says that he led captivity and gave gifts unto men. And so I brought this up before. So the subject of that Ephesians 4 is gifts. And he said he gave some to be apostles, some evangelists, some pastors, and some teachers, okay? But if you go over to Matthew 23, where he's rebuking the Pharisees, he said, "Don't call no man father." And we have no problem with that. But he also says, "Call no man rabbi." And the true translation of that is teacher, okay? So these, I just want to see, get your opinion of this. I think one of the most abused words in all the New Testament is the word pastor, okay? It's never written pastor, the word pastor in the New Testament, and it's only written pastors, plural, one time, and that's pertaining to gifts. And I'd like to hear what you have to say about that.
Well, I think the gifts themselves are the people to the body of Christ to help equip the body. It's just a function that different people serve within the body itself. That doesn't make them more special. It doesn't put them at a higher level. It's just a function that they've been set apart to serve and fulfill. And so we see that. But the purpose is so that we all will be built up and we'll all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. So God has gifted the body with these particular gifts, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, for that purpose. Why? Because the body itself has a function to fulfill in the world at large. I think we can take that to spiritual gifts. Clay, you have a spiritual gift. I have a spiritual gift. Not sure about Bob Davis, but
I'm
really think Bob Davis has a spiritual gift. And those gifts are to be used to encourage and build up one another so that the body at large can be the body in this world today. So God is doing that for us, and it's of His initiative. It's His discretion, and we can all be grateful for that. There's nothing to boast about. There's nothing to distinguish themselves about. You know, we have a lot of folks going around today saying they're apostles, claiming to be apostles. Well, you know, if you're claiming that, then you have pride about that. And so you're causing a division, and you're basically saying, you know, I'm better than you. And that's not true. We're all equal in Christ. We all are on equal ground at the foot of the cross. We share the same life. We share the same status as children of God. We've all been set apart. We're all called saints by calling, and we all need to rejoice in that and to embrace that and to be grateful for the gifts that are being exercised in the body, knowing that it's for the benefit of the whole so that the whole can fulfill its function in the world today.
You know, Bob, but I think what I'm saying, I think it's abused and almost like a title, because you like have a pastor, assistant pastor, youth pastor, marriage pastors, and then all I'm saying is, if being an apostle becomes the person, I think you'd have a lot less prophets today if the same law that was under the Old Testament was in effect today, to where if a prophet prophesied something false, they took him outside the gates and stoned him. You know, today you can't do it because it's a gift, but it's almost like they wear it like a badge. Most places won't even let you be a pastor unless you had a degree from a seminary. And what I'm saying, I think it hinders sanctification, because people always believe it's like Moses on the mountain. Well, go up to the mountain, see what God's got to say, and come back down here and tell us. And so it hinders the eldership being developed in all of the saints, in my opinion.
Well, I agree with that, Clay. Like I said, we're a body. We stand equal at the foot of the cross. We share in the same life. Christ's life is our life. So Christ has come to live in you. Christ has come to live in me. He's gifted us according to His purposes and plans. And all of that is for a greater good. And I think you're right. We hire people to do the work of ministry instead of allowing the people like the apostles and the pastors and the prophets and the evangelists and teachers to equip the body so that we can go out and carry on our work of ministry. We're the ones called to be ministers of reconciliation and ministers of the new covenant. That's just not limited to a select few. That's the mandate for every believer, every child of God. And when we understand that we've been sanctified, set apart for God's use, then that frees us up to say, Lord, send me. I'm available. And that's what all of us need to, where all of us need to be. And that's what the Holy Spirit will lead us to, as if we will just center our attention on Jesus, keep our eyes right on Him.
All right. Thank you, brother.
Thanks, Clay. Thanks for your call. We sure appreciate it.
Yes, indeed. Well, friends, Bob and Clay were talking about our individual gifts in the body of Christ. Well, we have a different kind of gift for you. It's Bob's series called Against the Current. Now, this is a 3-CD series, and through these messages, you're going to learn that God has empowered and equipped you to learn to live in truth. And we invite you to join Bob as he leads you into an understanding of the powerful impact the truth about Jesus has in your life, and how that same truth offers hope to those around you as well. Against the Current, yours for a gift of $20 or more this month. All you need to do is call 844-412-2742. Again, 844-412-2742, or visit us online at basicgospel.net. There's a donate link on every page at basicgospel.net. We hope you'll take advantage of this wonderful opportunity to get Against the Current.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go to New Jersey, and let's talk to Wayne, listening to us on WMCA.
Hey, friends, how's everything?
Doing well, Wayne. What's on your mind today?
Yeah, my question is Jesus Christ, that
No, Jesus Christ was not Melchizedek. There's some that believe that he could have been a theophany, you know, an early appearance, and certain theologians believe that. I just think he served as a type of Jesus Christ, somebody that foreshadowed a sense of what Christ was going to accomplish. So Jesus was going to be our high priest, even though he wasn't a Levite. He was from the tribe of Judah. He was going to serve as our high priest. Melchizedek gives us the type of what that priesthood was going to look like. It has no beginning or end. Now, we don't know anything about Melchizedek other than what the account in Genesis tells us. So it doesn't tell us anything about his past, his ancestry, his mom or his dad. He just appeared on the scene as if he came from above. And so that's kind of the thing with Jesus. He came from above, and he fulfilled a function, being our high priest. And because he accomplished his work, we have become priests, and we can have a relationship with God. So I think he's just a type. I think Melchizedek was just a type, foreshadowing the work of Jesus.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
You're welcome, Wayne. Hey, thanks for your call. We sure appreciate it.
Indeed we do.
Thank you.
Well, let's go to Livermore, California, and talk with William. Hi, William.
Hi, Bob. Before I get to my comment, I wanted to say that I believe that the gift that God has given Bob Davis is the gift of encouragement, and that it plays out very well through him.
I think you're absolutely right, William.
My comment is regarding our resurrected bodies and in fact, our bodies in general. Most of the time when I get questions regarding all of that, the source of their consternation seems to be that they think of their bodies as being themselves rather than just where they are dwelling for a time. And if we understand how Paul puts it, that our perishable bodies are simply tents, which are, you know, temporary dwellings, flimsy, not going to survive, and that our resurrected bodies are buildings that are indestructible. It seems to help people get over their concern about whether or not they could be cremated.
Yeah, William, excellent, excellent point. And that you're exactly right. Paul does spend a lot of time likening our current bodies to just simply tents. And he longed to be out of that, of his tent, and to be clothed with a heavenly one. So I think that's excellent insight, William. We sure appreciate your comments on that. Thanks for chiming in, my friend.
Yes, indeed. Thanks, William. Bob, I know you and I and the staff count it a tremendous blessing to be able to give to support this ministry. But, of course, we serve here. What do you think is the actual blessing that our listeners get when they give through a Basic Gospel?
Well, I think when somebody gives to Basic Gospel, you know, they're giving because the Holy Spirit has moved them to do so. And so I think it is an excellent you know, ministry to participate in. They're getting to do something that God is leading them to do. Why? Because God has put it in their heart to connect as many people as they possibly can to the love of Jesus Christ. And Basic Gospel is a wonderful tool and vehicle to do just that. We have a platform where the good news is being delivered each and every day. People are scanning across their radio dials looking for answers. And when those two things meet up, change happens. And the people who give to this ministry are the ones that are help writing those stories of change in this world today. So you're really making a difference.
Yeah.
And I think it's just a privilege to be able to share in this kind of work together with just a great team of people. And we certainly need more people to stand with us.
Absolutely. Well, friends, you can click donate on any page at basicgospel.net. Again, basicgospel.net. Or during Central Time office hours, you can speak with our operator at 844-412-2742 to make your gift. And, of course, with it comes a copy of Against the Current by Bob Christopher. We'll be back for our study edition tomorrow. I hope you'll join us then. Bye-bye.